is not a strange word to Christians. We began to hear this word responsibility at the very outset of our Christian life and experience. Our leaders make it known to us what we are supposed to do to be good Christians. In fact, in many cases, they outline our work for us and plan for us the things that we should do. So we learn responsibility. And I'm going to speak this morning to you on the subject of responsibility. But I'm not going to speak on the subject of the responsibility of man to God. But I'm going to speak on the subject of the responsibility of God to man, which is just a turnabout of what we have heard so many times. And I would like you to know that God is a responsible God. Now, the word responsible, if we would be to break it down into its simplest denominator, would mean able to respond, responsibility. And that which we are not able to respond to could never be our responsibility. It is only that which we are able to respond to that we are responsible for. Now God, who is all responsible and faithful, is able for all things, for he is omnipresent. That is, he don't have to go someplace. He is omniscient. He knows everything. There's no second guessing with God. He is omnipotent, omnipotent. He is all powerful. There is no power that exists, that doesn't exist within the realm of his own power. So no matter what power you can think of, whether it be human power, governmental power, the power of the devil, all power that can be thought of must be contained within the all-consuming power of the Eternal One. The Bible contains what is known as the law of responsibility. The law of responsibility for man is to act rightly on all issues in which he is involved. Whatever the issue might be for us, to act rightly on is our responsibility. The responsibility of a believer is to use all his spiritual endowments, everything with which God has endowed us with. Salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all blessings, all encounters that we've had with God, the healings of our bodies, all of God's endowments upon us, we are responsible to act rightly in these issues. The responsibility of God is to fulfill his word and bring to a righteous conclusion all his acts. God is going to finish righteously everything that he has ever begun. the creation of the heavens and the earth, the creation of man, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, and all the vegetation on the face of the earth which God has created, in which has fallen into decay. God is going to finish this work in righteousness. My text, if I have one that I could use, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Well, I will read one or two other verses. It is a faithful saying. And the word faithful is given in the scripture. And the word responsibility is only a counterpart of the word faithful. You do not find the word responsibility in the Bible. But we have used this word as an adjunct to the word faithful. But the Bible uses the word faithful. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, the fulfillment of God's word does not depend upon our belief. God is going to do what he said he was going to do, whether you believe it or not. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He said, I will do it. It is his word. Therefore, we trust him. The word faithful, as a Greek word, is pistos, and it means to be trusted. It means reliable. And so God is saying, I am reliable. I am to be trusted. And all through the Bible, you'll find this truth reiterated, repeated time and again. To trust the Lord. And we shall not be confounded nor brought into confusion. God is saying to us this morning, trust me. I am faithful. I will bring it to pass. Now God is faithful as a creator. He's faithful to his creation. In 1 Peter 4:19, we read the words, God is faithful wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping to their souls of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Now this word is freighted with tremendous meaning and an impact that is earth-shaking, that God is faithful in everything that he's ever done. He's never backed away from anything. He's a faithful creator. And when God made man, God became faithful or responsible to what he made. He didn't walk off and leave what he made. He didn't say, because Adam sinned, now I'm done with you. You go your way. I'm busy about other matters. But God felt responsible for man, even though he had sinned, because God made him. If God hadn't have made him, he wouldn't have sinned. So God made something that sinned. God made something that disobeyed. And so God has not unhooked himself from his creation. God is faithful to every living soul on the face of the earth right now. Sinners and saints and all the rest. He's faithful to them. And he's responsible. They're not even responsible for themselves. Nobody asked me whether I wanted to be born. So I'm not responsible for being born. Neither were my parents responsible for me being born. They didn't create me. God did. All they did was to follow the line of generation of propagation. God put in them the mating instinct. They propagated the creation that God started. So God is directly responsible for all his creation, no matter how many generations he passed away. You can stand up before God this morning and say, God, you're responsible for me. But you may say, well, yes, that's true if you're a saint, but not if you're a sinner. Oh, no. God is responsible for the sinners. Did any sinner ever have a choice that he could make in the matter? The Bible teaches us that we're born in sin and conceived in iniquity. Whoever asked you whether you wanted to be born a sinner or a saint? Did any voice ever address itself to a fetus and say, now look, honey, you're going to come out into the world here in a few weeks. What would you like to be, a sinner or a saint? It just could be that we'd have liked to have been born a saint. Well, now, when I was a young minister, I began to pursue a study of moral law. And it has been the very backbone of my theological ministry, moral law. Most of my studies I took from the Bible itself. And I found out that nobody is ever responsible for anything unless they have had some choice in the matter. How could they be? You're only responsible for the ability that you have to respond to a certain situation. If you've never had the ability to respond to a certain situation, the responsibility is not yours at all. And God has never laid the responsibility of a sinful world upon them. He laid it upon himself. And that's the reason he sent Jesus into the world to save them. He took the responsibility. And once Jesus comes across our pathway, and we see now that we can become a saint rather than a sinner, then the responsibility passes from God to man. And that's the very essence of the gospel message. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, and it say, not he that quits his sin. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that when God sent something into the world to believe, God said, I will take this responsibility. I will remove your sins from you. Then the responsibility rests upon man. And at that point, then he that believeth not shall be damned. Because he has taken upon himself the responsibility to die. The man who believes has taken upon his life the responsibility to live. And so God has taken upon himself the responsibility of the human family. Don't carry any responsibility that isn't yours. It'll break you up. Many people are trying to carry burdens that don't belong to them at all. They are never free, really, and relaxed in God. They almost feel guilty unless they're worrying about something. It makes them nervous if they run out of worry. They think it's godly to worry. The Christian life can be beautifully relaxed. The pastor was telling us this morning. It's a beautiful, relaxed life. When we can be relaxed in God and God has responsibility, he has responsibility to make a preacher out of me. I tell you, it would be a poor mess out of things if it was this personality that was doing it. You'd all be ready to go home right now. But as it is, you just want to stay here till 2 o'clock, don't you? You know, when I became a Christian many years ago, they began to lay it on me what I was responsible for. And I can remember the heavy burdens that I have borne in my life that God should be bearing and not me. I remember being told all that I had to do to prosper with God. Now, my natural trend was, before I was a Christian, I didn't want to be a Christian, really, when I was a youngster, because to be a Christian was a series of taboos. And everything I wanted to do, you couldn't do. The thing I didn't want to do, that they wanted me to do. I wanted to play ball on Sunday, but you couldn't do that. You go to Sunday school on Sunday. So the whole thing was just, I felt, then when I became a Christian, then it began to pour on me. Well, all the things I had to do, you have to quit this, quit that, quit the other thing. You have to do this, you have to pay your tithe, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the other thing. Well, my, and then when God called me to be a preacher, the load got heavier and heavier as I went along. I remember when I was in the ordination service, the man who was preaching the ordination sermon had us young preachers all strung out there on the first two rows, and he was shaking his finger at us. He was making us believe that if any soul ever went to hell, it was our fault. The burden of the whole world was on us. Get out there and preach the gospel to every country. I can remember now looking at my hands to see if there was any blood on them yet. These missionaries told us, you know, when they come home, that you don't give us some money and send us out there, the blood of the heathen is going to be on your hand. And they quoted the scripture out of context completely. We young ones, we believed it. And then when I became president of the school, they called me in to be the president of the school when all else seemed to be failing. We couldn't dump a failure on anybody that knew any better. And so it was, I remember I left my church in Everett after I'd been there quite a few years. And I felt this was God for me to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it because it was, in a way, a step down with less money and all the rest of it. But I just felt God that was in it. But in the first board of directors meeting, after I left my church and the folks didn't want me to go, they wanted me to stay on, but I felt it was God, I went there. And the first board of directors meeting they had, they began to discuss closing up the church, the college. Imagine how I felt. Well, so the burden of the whole thing rested upon me. The raising of the money to keep this college going. the development of the faculty, and the paroling the students. It was this responsibility became so great, such a great responsibility, that I concluded that really nobody would have a job like this unless they're ignorant. And I got to thinking one day, and I got to talking to God about the matter. It's a good thing to talk to God once in a while. Quit praying and start talking. Some of this prayer is nothing more or less than bead counting without the beads. I got to reasoning with God. So I said to God, how is it, God, that you're my father and I'm the son, but I'm carrying all the responsibility? You're just up there looking on. And I said, now, in my family, I was talking to God this way, in my family, I'm the father, and I have five sons. But it seems in my home, my children are not the ones that bear the responsibility. I do. I'm the father. I'm responsible for those children, to take care of them and see to this and that. Their lives were under my supervision and responsibility, which is right. I never did expect too much from them. They were just learning, you know, and just growing up. To give them a job to do, it was never really all done, only half done. Have to finish up the job. And so I said, how is it that I carry all the responsibility here, the father of my children, but in my relationship with you, I seem to be the one carrying all this load? And God began to talk to me, and he said, well, you're telling me you have it all wrong. He says, I'm the responsible one. You're just trying to carry it. He said, this is my responsibility. You just trust in me and I'll take care of it. And when I learned to see that Almighty God was responsible for me and all that he had called me to do in all of the vicissitudes of my life, he was responsible. He was taking care of the things. The load began to get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. Praise God. And when I began to see this, I found that God never failed me once. Never. God never failed me once. So that left me empty-handed and a failure. I don't think that any Christian should look upon themselves as being a failure, because if they do, they're testifying to their own efforts all of the time. Why should we? We're a success, aren't we, in God? Hallelujah. One time I thought God really failed me. But I was wrong. You know, one time when I was with the college, I needed $1,000 more to meet the payroll. And I was responsible for the payroll. And I needed $1,000 more for payroll. And I'd like to say before I get into this that in the 18 years I was president of the college, I had to sign the checks for a payroll for a faculty that kept growing and finally reached 70 by the time I left there. That never once in 18 years did I ever ask a teacher to postpone their paycheck for one day. Somebody, once or twice, I didn't have the money in the bank, but it was Friday night. But they got the check. Well, coming back to this, I needed $1,000, and I didn't have it. And I came up to Friday. I was battling with it. And I had prayed to God, I need $1,000. And in the mail, every day in the mail, I looked through the mail, see if there was any money that somebody sent in. I didn't know where the money was coming from. All I knew about was the need. Well, I came to the mail delivery on Friday afternoon, and there wasn't any money, and I didn't know what to do. Now, so I sat there rather dejected, pondering the point that God had never failed me yet. And I had shoved all the second-class mail back on my desk to be looked at later. I was just anxious about the first-class mail. But as I sat there kind of absent-mindedly opening that second-class mail, junk mail and stuff, and throwing it in the waste paper basket, I came across an envelope that I'd seen before. But it was a tattered envelope, just a regular small-sized envelope, addressed to the college in a pencil. And it was poorly written, and it didn't have even the street address. It just had Northwest College, Seattle, Washington. That was when the school was in Seattle. And it was about so thick, and so I thought, well, and it was a raggedy envelope. So I thought I'd received packages like this before. Some dear old saint in a rest home likes to give out trash, you know. So I picked up this raggedy bundle of tracks, I thought, and I ran my finger through the raggedy edge and opened it up. There in a neat little bundle was exactly $1,000. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And I'm saying all of this to say to you this morning, if it's possible, that we might trust God more in his faithfulness to us. Not to be too disturbed about our failures and our weaknesses and all the responsibilities that might have been loaded onto us, and we have found them grievous to be borne. Because Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He didn't say there wouldn't be any yoke or any burden, but he says it's light. Hallelujah. And if we learn, we are going to see a mighty manifestation of God's power and glory if we put the responsibility for God's business where it belongs, with God as he works through us. Praise the Lord forevermore. I only feel responsible as a Christian in that I let God work through me. Not that I that I'm programmed out in such a way that I have to do this and that and the other thing and all the rest of it. But I try and may God help me to be programmed into the idea that Jesus Christ is living in my life, and that if there's anything that's going to be done at all, it's going to be done because his life is working through my life. Then we know where the glory and the praise belong when that happens. Praise the Lord. You know, I have found so many people that are under burdens that have never been released from a burden of responsibility. They just feel guilty much of the time, but they don't know really why. They feel that they're not measuring up or they're not doing something. It is really not the urgings of the Spirit of God himself at all. It is the urging of the old natural man to be doing things. Now, I think that God's people should be doing things and should be doing many things as they are moved upon by the Spirit of the Lord and bringing forth fruit unto God. You know, when I was early in the ministry, Just a young fellow before I was married, just started out. We started a church down in Albany, Oregon. And I pastored this church for a short time. And while I was pastoring, I got under an awful burden of guilt. But I could not identify my guilt. I felt guilty, but I didn't know what I was guilty about. I'm quite sure that many people have had that experience, because it is a common one. It is a sort of a self-imposed guilt that is brought about by trying to measure up to the spirit of somebody else. Now, this might be a subconscious reaction when we have what we call a superego, or an individual that's a sort of a backup conscience to us, like the preacher is many times a backup conscience to somebody. And they do everything as the shadow of the preacher hovers up. They're thinking, what will he think about this, or what will he do about that? See? Instead of having a direct line between us and God and God himself, we have some individual that we're trying to measure up to their standards or their pattern or something, and this imposes a great burden on many people. Now, I got under this kind of a guilt complex, and it bothered me night and day, and I prayed about it, but I got no relief. And it comes to the point where I said to myself, you are a hypocrite, because you're standing up there preaching to the people and you feel guilty yourself. You're telling the people how to live and walk with God, but you feel guilty yourself. It's just an awful bondage to be in. It went on a long time, and I decided to resign. I couldn't bear the weight of it. Until one night, there was a young woman came into the church as a missionary, returned missionary from India. And she gave her testimony, and I could see that she was a very spiritually minded person that knew God. And so I walked home with her after the service. This is before I was married, and she was living with some folks just a couple of blocks from the church. And I walked home with her, and I felt, this is one person that I can tell my problem to. And so I told her of this awful burden, this guilty feeling. And she spoke up, and she delivered me by the words that came out of her mouth. She said to me, this is the devil's doing, if not God at all. The devil has put on you a feeling of guilt, and you're just ignorant of his devices, but God Almighty is faithful who has called you. And that's exactly what God said in his word. He's faithful who has called you. And immediately, just like that, I was delivered. Satan seemed to just disappear like that off the scene. I went home dancing and singing and shouting the praise of God. I was liberated from all false guilt, false burdens, and false responsibilities. Praise the Lord. Thank God, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Praise the Lord. We stand together. Thank God for freedom in the Lord. We have freedom to be holy.